Thank you, Linda. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 15. Chapter 15. We are approaching the end of the book. Got a little ways to go yet, but we are working on it. The book of Revelation is difficult for some folks because it's not in consecutive order. Things are not happening necessarily in sequence. And we are at another one of those points tonight. Chapter 14, we saw two groups harvested. Well, now we're back where there is still people around. They were harvested near the end of the tribulation by angels under the direction of Jesus. We saw a second group harvested to be placed in the great winepress of the wrath of God. Now we are going to see the wrath of God poured out. None of us have ever seen the wrath of God. God has always been merciful with us. He's always been loving with us, with everyone. Now we are going to see what can happen when God displays his wrath. Since the beginning of time, God has been gathering up his wrath to be demonstrated at the end of time. And John calls the sight of the great and the sight of God's wrath on display great and marvelous as the seven angels come forward with containers in their hands. The containers are filled with some sort of black substance. Before we see the result of the wrath being poured out upon the earth, we are given more information, Revelation 15:2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. The picture we have is the throne of God in heaven. And those who have been redeemed, those who have come out of the tribulation, being redeemed out of the tribulation, are all standing on a sea of glass around the throne of God. Must be quite a sight. Millions, millions of souls gathered there at that point. This would be the same sea of glass that we saw in Revelation 4:6. Revelation 4:6 says, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto a crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." Those who make it to the sea of glass are experiencing victory over sin. They have successfully arrived at the throne of God. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They did not accept the number of the beast, nor worship him. They have only worshiped Jesus. Aren't you glad tonight you're worshiping Jesus? You're going to be part of that group. You are going to be part of that group. There on that sea of glass, they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. The song of Moses represents the relationship to the chosen people of God, or the Jew. And the song of the Lamb represents their connection to Jesus Christ. They have become the adopted children. We have become the adopted children of Abraham. We are joining them, folks. They are not joining us. And we have to realize we are the adopted children. We're not born of Abraham. Revelation 15:3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. It ends with, Thou King of saints. The song of the Lamb starts with the words, Great and marvelous are thy works. The song of Moses is found in Exodus 15, 1 through 19. And let's look at it. So we don't often read the song of Moses, but turn to, if you will, Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, second book of the Bible. Exodus book, chapter 15. The Song of Moses is the first 19 verses. This is an important part of Jewish worship and an important part of Jewish faith. Verses 1 through 19. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is his strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble, and with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with the wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as stiff as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. That was probably one of the greatest events in the history of Israel, when they were led out of Egypt by the Lord, with Moses following the commandments of the Lord. Learn the song, folks. We're going to be singing it in heaven. We're going to be singing it in heaven. Think about that. We're going to be doing a lot of things in heaven. Both songs are the testimony of the workings of God. Revelation 15:4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Notice that all nations, that includes Russia, that includes China, the day will come when all will worship God. Man has no strength against God. Oh, he thinks he does. He's so full of pride, he thinks he's greater than God. And he does things his way. But the day will come when it says right here, all nations shall come and worship before thee. And that includes Russia and China. Verse 5 of chapter 15 changes what John is experiencing. Revelation 15, 5 and 6. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven last plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. The plagues of God are the administration of the wrath of God. These seven angels are God's special messengers. They are going to deliver the wrath of God to the world. They're going to deliver the wrath of God to the world. Revelation 15, 7 and 8. And one of the four beasts gave to the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. No one can stand to be in the presence of God when he is angry. No one can stand to be in the presence of God when he is angry. The whole earth will be affected. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 39 through 43, I want to read this passage to you from God's Word. See now that I, even I am He, and there is no God with me, I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword and my enemy's hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. Verse 42. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Folks, that has not been fulfilled yet. That is yet to be fulfilled in Israel. And when it is fulfilled, Israel will be under tremendous attack, and God will intervene. We ask the question, is there anything too hard for God? And the answer, of course, is no. There is not. Is there anything impossible with God? And again, the answer is no. Folks, we have no reason to fear. we need not be afraid. We belong to him. We are his children. By adoption, we are the children of Abraham, and one day we will be with him as he overcomes all. Now it begins. And the first, that's the angels with the wrath of God that are going to be pouring it out on the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. What is a noisome sore? It is a sore that has several attributes, I guess you could call them. Number one, the people with the sore are verbally groaning and complaining about the sores. They will be covered with sores. The sores will be rancid. They will smell. It will be a very awful thing that will pour upon the earth. For everyone with a mark on their forehead or the mark on the back of their hand, they have no choice. This is God's wrath beginning to be poured out. Now, you will notice that these examples of the wrath of God are not quick in their administration. It's going to be a long time. The wicked on earth are intended to suffer. The wicked on earth are intended to suffer. Revelation 16, 3 and 4. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul in the sea, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Folks, water everywhere becomes blood. Now think about this. God is always just in his dealings with man, and no one wants to have God for an enemy. No one does. Revelation 16, 5 through 7. And I heard the angel of the waters say, there is an angel who watches over the waters. He said, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be. There's our three tenses again, past, present, future. Because thou hast judged this, because you have done this. That's what the angel is saying. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Think about this. There will be nothing to drink but blood. Nothing to wash with but blood. No more water. All of the water will be turned to blood. Revelation 16, 8 and 9. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. Look at the sequence these events are happening in. First of all, the sores, the smell, the pain. Then nothing but blood to cleanse these things with. Nothing but blood to drink as the temperatures get hot because of the sun being permitted to scorch the earth. What do you want when you are hot? Water. What do you have on the earth at that time? Blood. Think about it. God has gotten rid of all the water to quench the thirst. and to bathe the scorched skin. If a person wants a drink or soothing for the burns, they have to apply blood. Yet they continue to resist and rebel. Verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. They will be in such pain from these sores. Now, I can tell you, I am a very poor patient, okay? I do not like pain. I do not like discomfort. I don't like any of those things. I am the first to complain when I have those, anything like that. These people will have nothing to sustain them. They will have nothing to comfort them. All of this is the wrath of God being poured out upon the earth. Now, this is not an unheard of event. Mankind was warned at various times. God caused something similar to happen at the crucifixion. It says here that the kingdom was full of darkness. Remember when the crucifixion took place? For 6 hours, the earth was dark. The sun did not shine on the day that Jesus poured out his life for our sin. Matthew 27:45 says this, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. It was prophesied in Isaiah 60, verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Again, it was prophesied in Mark 13, 24 through 27. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth, and to the uttermost part of heaven. We saw that in chapter 14. Remember the sickles? This is not in consecutive order, and yet we're beginning to see how it does all fit together. God is not done yet. He has this time planned out to accomplish his will without any interference from man, Revelation 16:12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east, India, China, Pakistan, be prepared. There's going to be a huge army gathered by the dragon, the political beast, and the false prophet. They need a way to get to the place where the battle takes place. So the Euphrates River is dried up, so they have a way of crossing into that part of the world. Revelation 16:13-16. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Here it is. Here it is. Jesus extends one more warning to the people on earth. He extended that back in Revelation 3:10. Let me read it for you. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That is a promise to each one of us. We are not going to have to go through the tribulation. We have a promise from Jesus Christ himself. What a wonderful thing. Joel, we've studied that, the book of Joel. Chapter 3, verses 9 through 16 says this, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the nations round about. Put ye in the sickle." Remember the sickle from the previous chapter. "For the harvest is ripe." You see, in the Old Testament, the very same things we are reading right now in the book of Revelation were prophesied. So neat that it all goes together. Verse 13, "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened. The stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." The people need to remember who they're dealing with. They're dealing with God. Psalm 2, verses 1 through 4 says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." You will never win a battle against God. Never. The world thinks that they can overcome God. The world thinks that they can deny God, that they can deny the existence of God. Our government is denying the existence of God, even today. What fools. Folks, you stay close to him. You stay close to him. That's all that matters. He has a place for you. He has promised that you do not have to go through this. Revelation 16:17. "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done." God's wrath has come to an end, and this will be the climax of his wrath. Revelation 16:18-21. "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since the men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts," that would be the city of Jerusalem. "And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon became in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon man a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. for the plague thereof was exceeding great. A talent is 94.3 pounds. Every chunk of hail falling was 94.3 pounds. What do you think that would do for you? Squish? Roadkill, instant roadkill everywhere. Now, there are some prophecies connected to what takes place here. Romans 8:21, one from Paul, says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. God is going to redeem the creation. Everything is going to be perfect again. The great earthquake that destroys everything, that is getting rid of this old earth. The old heaven is going to be replaced with a new heaven. In 2 Peter 3:10 through 12, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein are shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and goodness? Looking for the and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That brings us to the end of chapter 16. We're very early tonight, that makes up for this morning, okay? Any questions or comments? When the wrath of God is poured out upon the earth, it is going to be horrible. There will be no fixing it. There'll be no cure for it. We have not. Yes, go ahead, Faye.
I know we talk about this on Wednesday night, but about a revival, do you think there'll be? I mean, I remember you mentioned there might be a few people getting saved here before the end, but do you sense there'll be some type of revival of people really wanting to be saved?
We are told that in the last days there would be a revival. I am not seeing a revival yet. I'm looking for it, but I am not seeing it. That's why I think there's still yet a little time. But we want to be a part of that revival. That's one of the reasons we had Mike Schrock here in February. That's one of the reasons that we have Dadu Barba coming in September, is to do what we started this morning. Stir us up. Get us going. Get us moving. Get us going forward. Not backwards, but forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be a part of this. We can help make this revival come. Good thought. Any other questions? Any other comments? Folks, it's going to really be horrible. You can't imagine how bad it's going to be. You can look at places like where the war is going on right now, and you see all these devastated buildings and dead bodies laying around. That's nothing. That's nothing. When God's wrath is poured out upon the earth, there will not be a place for anybody to turn. We won't be here. He has promised us we will not be here. We will not have to go through this. You've got 15 minutes to go eat donuts or talk or whatever you would like to do or fellowship. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we are so grateful that you have given us your word and that you have told us what you are about to do. May we be faithful children. May we be children who desire to be with our Father. And Father, the day may come and will come when we will be with you, when we will be standing on that sea of glass before your throne, listening to the songs, listening to the song of Moses, listening to the song of Jesus Christ. Father, use us. Prepare our hearts, prepare our lives, that we may be a part of the revival which you intend to bring upon the earth prior to the coming of Christ. May your will be done in each of our lives, and we will praise you, Father, for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.